Taiwan Special, episode 2 of the week. I went long yesterday, so I might cut this a little bit short. Trump mentioned in his speech this week, General Raisin Kane, his speech at CPAC. I think Trump said we got to work on that name like a raisin. Why? Raisin Kane? That kind of sounds like the statement raise Kane. Like people will say, I'm going to raise hell. And that's R-A-Z-E. Gandalf said that Saruman would raise Minas Tirith to the ground. R-A-Z-E, when you raise a city. It's not R-A-I-S-E, it's raise. It's like demolish it and level it. So to raise hell is R-A-Z-E, raise hell. A lot of people will say they'll raise Cain. They don't want to say raise hell. So they say, oh, I'm going to raise Cain. And they don't mean raisin from the dead. They just want to say Cain instead of hell. Well, raisin Cain, it sounds like he's raising Cain, like he's going to raise hell, like he's in the process of raising hell. But we're going to say Cain instead. Raisin Cain. That actually, that's a pretty BA name. You know, okay, I mentioned, just a thought. I love the name Raisin Kane. I think that's great. I don't think it needs help. Pakistan. I've got a buddy here that I was talking with, as I said. And he's from Pakistan. And he's in Taiwan. And he mentioned to me the prospect, I mean, because he knows that I translate or that I write books and stuff, and he mentioned the prospect of translating books into Urdu, which is Pakistan's language. A lot of people in India also speak Urdu. So he mentioned the prospect of translating books into Urdu. He said, there's a way to do that. And I said, well, my concern is that, you know, whether or not I could write a book that's worth translating into Urdu. So, I asked what the market would be, and he said, well, the market would be Christians. And I said, well, that could be interesting, because maybe I could go visit Pakistan, talk to the Christians that are there, and see what types of books I could write that are worth translating into Urdu, their language. So that was interesting. The other thing that came up was I was talking with him about my software project that I'm finishing, and he said, I've got a friend who runs a software company in Pakistan. I said, well, as an American, I'm not going to outsource engineering. You know, and this gets kind of in my business model stuff. I explained to him, I said, I'm a media personality. I'm a podcaster and I'm a writer. I've got a million words that I've written over the last 10 years. And I've got these podcasts and I'm known, and I've got several different brands. I've got a number of different websites that get like 50 to 100 hits a day, and there's zero advertising and there's zero SEO stuff. I don't believe in advertising, and I don't believe in SEO, search engine optimization. I don't believe in making it so that Google can find you. Now, I think it's useful, I suppose, if Google can find you a little bit, but I'm not going to go SEO crazy. I'm not going to spend one dime on SEO. Not going to do it. I don't believe that's necessary. It's really funny. I go to my statistics. It's like, you know, I used to get like one or two visits a month through Google, and everything else was coming through other traffic. I get the cheesy review, my chimney, as it were. I mean, that gets traffic. I think it gets like 100 hits a day sometimes, and I don't promote it. I just write these really goofy reviews about wine and cheese, and that's it. So I told him, I said, as part of my business model, I have certain values that I follow because I think those values will work. And I live out my values and then they work. And as a result, I prove that my values are correct, or that, you know, they're right and good, because they're ideas that work. These are my beliefs, and look, see, they work. Okay. That's what I do in my large media presence, and that makes me interesting. People want to hear what I have to say. It helps make the world a better place. That goes back to Ed Silvoso and transformation and so forth. Well, not that it's his idea, but I think he's articulated the idea. You know, I want to make the world a better place. A fundamental, holistic, comprehensive, not always preaching Jesus in words. But I mean, Jesus is the King of Kings. He's building this 1,500 mile cubic floating city, New Jerusalem. Jesus is building that now. That's why he's not here. He's busy preparing the place. So, Jesus, the awesome thing about Jesus is that he knows how to deal with politics. Jesus knows how to clean up the environment like nobody else does. We got this Green New Deal. This Green New Deal is nothing compared to Jesus. This Green New Deal, as I understand, is kind of stupid. It goes in a lot of debt. I mean, what the Green New Deal basically does, as I understand, it lays in all this infrastructure, and it basically turns America into a ghost town like North Korea. North Korea has these 8-lane freeways that don't have any cars on them because they didn't build their infrastructure scalably. And the Green New Deal, as I understand, lays in massive amounts of infrastructure that people wouldn't be using for a long time. You have to slowly move your way there, not just create these massive empty freeways that no one's going to drive on. That's the thing. North Korea doesn't have enough money for gasoline, but they've got these big freeways. They've got this great big skyscraper that's beautiful outside, but it's not finished inside. They got these high rises, but not many people live in them. So, you know, it's like, well, they're preparing. No, they're not. They're over-preparing. Preparation includes scalability. Carnival workers will tell you that you need to make it feel like a crowded room all the time or people aren't happy. I mean, if you're going to have a party with only 10 people, you put them all into a closet and that's a fun party. If you've got a great big grand ballroom with only 1,000 people, but the ballroom could hold 3,000 people, that's too big. It's no fun. Stuff has to feel crowded or it's just not fun. The economy won't work. People don't enjoy themselves. You've got to make stuff feel a little bit crowded. You've got to keep stuff at the right suitable size. So I don't know where I was with it. I kind of got lost. Okay. Pakistan. My idea is that I follow these basic ideas, these basic principles. And as one of the principles that I follow, I believe that you can do business, manufacturing, development. You can do that stuff in America. America does not need to outsource all of its work, its software development. America does not need to outsource all that stuff to cheaper countries. You can do software development in America. It doesn't have to be in Pakistan just because that's cheaper. Now, that being said, I don't have a problem outsourcing some things if demand was out of line. I don't have a problem being the product manager for an American client and then having Pakistan write the software for it. I don't mind that once I already have an American software company established. So see, I want to work with America. Yes, I'm developing software. I mean, I'm getting to that point of leading a software company. Because the leader of a software company needs to understand a lot of different things. He needs to understand the engineers, but he also needs to understand business. He also needs to understand marketability and stickiness and so forth. Software engineers, there's more to engineering good software than just the engineering part. So I would love to work with skilled engineers so I can take care of the other stuff and do a good job with the other things. And then the engineers are happy to work for me. Like I'd love to serve them in that way. So, but as part of that, I'm not just going to outsource in Pakistan. But maybe I could provide software that the Pakistani software guys would find useful. You know, who knows? So when it comes to marketability, I might be interested in going to Pakistan and seeing what there is to see as far as writing books that are worth translating. See, that was what I told my friend. I said, rather than looking at a book that I wrote for Americans and look at translating it into Urdu and then trying to get people in Pakistan to buy it, how about I go to Pakistan and I learn about Pakistan enough that I could write a book worth translating? And if I can write a book worth translating, you know, Urdu for the Pakistanis, I'm sure a lot of people in India might also want to read it. But see, I would use Pakistan as my archetypal market, you see. That's how that would work. See you tomorrow.